Podtacular episode 414, Start Kicking Griff, for March 13th, 2014. Hello everyone, Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
And I'm your other host, Brent Gamer.
And tonight, we come with news of Griff and RTX and Halo tournaments and such. We got quite a bit to talk about this week. Not necessarily Halo 5 or Halo 2 Anniversary or Halo news in that sort, but we have some interesting stuff coming up in terms of events in the next couple of months that we want to kind of cover. And that is the reason why we have some guests on today. Cornering from Griffball Hub, their little corner of the universe, we have Goose Cheka and Cal Bagarian on the show. Welcome back, guys.
Are you sure? Because you didn't sound quite sure.
What do you mean I didn't sound quite sure?
You're like, Goose Cheka?
Is that how you say that? Cheka?
Yeah, so he can't say my name, but he says yours just fine.
I know, he says my name perfectly.
But hi!
Hello.
There wasn't any doubt in there, or there wasn't supposed to be. So, but yes, Goose and Cal are here to talk about some interesting stuff. hey now.
Hosted by Duststrom? Duststorm, sorry, Duststorm?
Actually, a lot of people online call me Pod because I have P-O-D at the beginning of my gamer tag for Podtacular. And it drives me nuts. It's a clan tag. It's all caps, followed by regular words. It's a clan tag.
I was like, come on, don't people remember clans? Weren't you around in like 15 years ago when clans were a thing?
That makes me sad.
It's hard to remember. It's hard to believe that Halo 2 had built-in clan support on the Xbox as one of the Xbox Live features on it.
I know. They need to bring that back.
Like, you could have 100 people on your friends list, and then you could have like another 100 people in your clan.
It was good times back then, from what I heard. I wasn't around in the Halo 2 days.
I feel old.
Mm-hmm.
Sad Dust Storm is sad. But anyways, enough sad moments. We're here to talk about some good news. So the reason why Cal and Goose are on is because they have a certain Kickstarter, so to speak, for an RTX thing that they want to do, and they want to come on and talk about it. So I'm giving you guys the open floor. Tell us what your Kickstarter is for.
Our Kickstarter is to fund a booth at RTX, so that's the Rooster Teeth Convention in Austin, Texas.
So for those that are listening to this that may not know what RTX is, what is this RTX thingy?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Dusty. Let me tell you about it. RTX is the annual Rooster Teeth Convention in Austin, Texas. It is the 4th of July weekend, so, free day off of work, yay! And it is a conglomeration of gaming and community, the Rooster Teeth community, and machinima, and pretty much everything that Rooster Teeth has ever touched. So all comes together in one place. They have lots of gaming tournaments. They have booths there that sell merchandise. Then they've been doing it. This will be their fourth year, actually, that they have been doing RTX. The first RTX was only 500 people. The second RTX...
On purpose. I mean, they capped it at 500.
Well, no, they originally capped it at like 200, but then the...
They oversold.
Yeah, the registration stuff apparently failed because they sold out so fast. And then the second one was, I believe, 5,000. The one last year was 10,000. And this year they're aiming for, I think, 15 is their goal. So for more information, you can go to RTXevents.com. And they're selling tickets, and it has information about all the amazing things that RTX has to offer.
Yep, tickets are still on sale. And the last I heard from Rooster Teeth, from the Rooster Teeth people, is that they're expecting to sell out sometime in late April. So you have a little bit of time to buy your tickets, but don't dawdle too long.
Yes.
The weekend ones out, sold out?
I don't think anything's sold out.
Yeah, I think they're still for sale.
Cool. So if you're heading over to RTX, or if you're interested in RTX, then head over to rtxevent.com, pick up your tickets. I will be there. Brent will be there. Goose and Cal will be there. And a bunch of other Halo people.
A lot of Halo people. I mean, we are not kidding when we say, if you are a gamer and you consider yourself a Halo fan first, we would recommend RTX over any other convention during the year.
Yes.
If you only can go to one, you should go to RTX.
Mostly because you'll have the greatest chance of having hands-on experience with Halo in general and getting to meet the people that make it happen. You know, you think about, you know, an event like PAX where there's 60 to 80,000 people there, and to try and get 2 minutes with someone like BS Angel or Bravo or, you know, in, or mm-hmm. I think Ghost Ayame is there now.
Or Goose Checka.
Oh, whatever. You know, it's, there's, it's really, really
Microsoft MVP.
Yes. But, you know, at RTX with only 15,000 people, everybody is pretty super accessible unless you're Rooster Teeth, at which point you're super not accessible because there's 15,000 people there that want your attention.
I would liken it to like a mini Halo Fest in that Rooster Teeth owes most of their success to Halo because Red versus Blue is where they really took off, and it's still their most popular product, their most popular show. But
actually, I don't think that's the case anymore.
You think Achievement Hunter's bigger?
Yeah, Achievement Hunter is way past Red versus Blue.
Oh, because they probably, because of all their Let's Plays they do in other games, right?
Yeah, and it's not a ripoff of Red versus Blue. I mean, again, that's where they got their start. That's where they got their fame. But if you look at a lot of people that are paying attention to Rooster Teeth nowadays, they don't know Rooster Teeth for the Red versus Blue stuff. It's a lot of the other stuff. The Achievement Hunter, Ruby, the podcast, all that stuff takes a front seat.
I have a funny story, actually. I was on the Rooster Teeth Reddit page today, and somebody had a thread about, you know, I'm thinking about getting a Rooster Teeth tattoo. Should I do it? And so I posted a link to the PSA they did where it was Griff and Church debating whether or not to get a tattoo, and I put a quote from it. And a lot of people replied to it not understanding what I was talking about, not understanding, like, ancient Rooster Teeth history there.
Wow.
On top of that, we've had people come to the site, you know, for Griff Ball, which exists solely because of Rooster Teeth, or was created solely because of Rooster Teeth. And, you know, we'll make a reference to Red versus Blue and where Griff Ball came from. And they have no idea. They're like, what's Rooster Teeth? I just like Griff Ball because it was in Halo 3, or rather in Halo 4 matchmaking or Halo Reach matchmaking. They have no idea about Rooster Teeth, which kind of blows my mind. But again, I think we're just showing our age.
Yeah.
Well, it's usually the other way around. It's usually people come from Rooster Teeth to all the other stuff. But it's nice to see that there's still some people kind of entering into the Halo community specifically and then kind of branching out from there.
Yeah. So yeah, RTX, the proportion of Halo to RTX, Halo's a much bigger deal at RTX than it could possibly be at any other convention, just mm-hmm. because RTX is a smaller convention, but many more people at RTX know what Halo is and are Halo fans than you will find at PAX East or PAX Prime.
Yes.
So yes, if you can,
and it doesn't sell out quite as fast either.
Yeah, true. You don't have to be lightning quick on the button and happen to be online the day tickets go on sale to be able to go.
I'm dreading how fast it's going to go this year.
Yeah, for PAX, that's going to be awful.
Just so people know, for PAX Prime last year, the weekend passes, the 4-day passes, sold out in 11 minutes, and all the passes combined sold out in 42 minutes.
Yeah, we were lucky enough to be able to buy individual day passes because we couldn't get the 3-day passes. As soon as I saw the link pop up on Twitter, I hopped into the queue, but that still wasn't quick enough.
Yeah, same for me. But I think what I'm going to do is kind of network with you guys and Ready Up Live to just buy as many as I can and then pass them out to people within the community.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, that's kind of what you almost have to do because,
yeah,
you know, for example, if Cal hadn't seen it, I was at work. There's no way I could see it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you're just screwed.
Yeah, there's nothing to do in that case.
So Rooster Teeth Expo, again, for those that are interested, it's in Austin, Texas. It is the 4th of July weekend. It actually starts on the 4th this year.
Mm-hmm.
The 4th is a Friday, and it goes through Sunday, which is the 6th. So if you want to come and do all the kind of extraneous activities too, you might want to get there a day early, so get there on the 3rd, on the Thursday, because there's usually some pre-expo things going on around the city, and then stay through until Monday, catch your flight home to wherever you are, or if you're local to Austin or local in the area, drive back home, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's a great event. We've gone for 2 years in a row, and each year has just been better and better than the year before it. And that's kind of what our Kickstarter is about, is making it bigger and better than its predecessor.
Yeah, and you guys have already kind of met that goal and are trying to get that bigger. So tell us a little bit more specifically about the Kickstarter, what the goal is of that, and what are some of the things that the Kickstarter is there to fund for you going to RTX?
Sure. I think the first place probably to rewind a little bit to last year. That last year we did a Kickstarter raising funds for our booth. We had never done a booth before at a convention. This is the very first time. And we reached our Kickstarter goal last year and exceeded our goal. So we were able to have a 20-foot by 10-foot booth on the show floor with four TVs and four Xboxes hooked up so we could do 8v8 with split screening. Then we had an information table with a bunch of swag like wristbands and T-shirts and cinch sacks and things like that to give away to people. Custom box art, Halo 4 Griff Ball Edition box art that we, our partner H2O Camper from Griff Ball Hub designed. So it was great stuff. Booth was a huge success. Over 1,000 people stopped by and played Griff Ball and picked up swag and all that jazz. So this year, our goal is to make it bigger and better than we did last year. We set our original goal at our Kickstarter at $4,500, which would allow us to repeat everything we did last year. So it's a 20 by 10 booth and all the same swag we had last year. We reached that goal within 72 hours of our Kickstarter launching, thanks to some very, very generous donations like Dusty's. And
I got out-donated by Dr. Leo.
Yeah, you did. It's hard to compete with Dr. Leo.
Yeah, but still, it's cool to see that you guys got fully funded that quickly.
Yeah.
You guys are still, I mean, the campaign's still going.
Yeah, it is. It's set to go for 30 days. So we're 2 weeks in right now, and it's 2 weeks from tonight. It's going to close. So
speaking of which, you just joined the stream.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, continue.
Yeah. So we hit our original goal of $4,500, but we have a bunch of stretch goals listed on the Kickstarter page. So if you go and you scroll down to the bottom, you can see all the things our eventual goals would be if we were to hit certain marks with a certain amount of money that backers give us. But the next up is if we hit $8,000, we'll be able to double the size of our booth. So we'll be able to go from a 20-foot by 10-foot booth, you know, 200 square feet, to 400 square feet. And what's most exciting about that is we have partnered with Iron Gaming and Games. Iron Gaming, which I guess we'll talk about more later on in the podcast. They're like an NCAA of esports. And then Games is the company that makes those cool carrying cases that have TVs built in. So you put your Xbox on one side, you have the TV on the other, and you know, you can play mobily.
Goose won one of those.
I did. Yes. I did. And it's signed by everybody at 343. Yeah.
Because I was a nice person and let ladies go first.
Let that be a lesson to you.
Yeah.
They won't return the favor.
You're welcome, Goose. I'm just kidding.
So, yeah.
No, it's yeah, they're really cool game cases. If you guys haven't seen them, it's the Halo cases that 343 has been advertising, or they advertised around the launch of Halo. So it's those cases that have the nice 19-inch screens on the inside, hookups for your Xbox, and you can basically carry it around like a mobile gaming station. They're really, really cool.
Yeah, they're very cool. And thanks to Iron Gaming and Games, we will have 16 of those cases available for our booth. The problem comes in is that we need space to put those gaming cases up. And they'll be supplying Xboxes as well. So everything we would need to have Griff Ball at the booth. So our booth size right now, 20 foot by 10 foot, isn't enough for 16 gaming stations.
Nope.
We'd be able to set up 8 of them so we could have one game of Griff Ball going.
Yes.
But if we want to use all 16 so we can fully utilize everything we've been given by Iron Gaming and Games, we would need to double our booth size, which is what we're striving for now with our $8,000 goal. And just last night, we crossed the two-thirds mark. So we are two-thirds of the way to our $8,000 goal. So we only have one-third to go in 14 days.
You can make it happen. Yes. Yes, you.
Yep.
Very nice. So we'll have a link to that Kickstarter on the podcast post when we have this episode out for you guys. And if you want to go check it right now, if you're listening to us live on Twitch, then you can go over to griffballhub.com, and I believe they have a link over there to the Kickstarter.
Many, many links to the Kickstarter.
Lots of links.
Go to the front page. There's a huge icon on your right that links you right to it.
You should do that.
There you go.
I know. Oh, good. Brent just posted the
Thank you,
link.
Brent.
Thank you.
Brent is on top of it.
He is.
Yeah. Some of the backing reward levels we have. Some of them are simple things like if you donate $1, we'll send you a thank you. If you donate $5, we'll tweet out that you're the best Griff Baller of all time.
Of all time.
Yeah. That confused me last year.
Because it's like, everybody's the best Griff Baller of all time. 70 people. What's up with that?
We actually did have somebody tweet at us asking, you seem to be saying a lot of people are the best of all time. Is this for real? Yeah, you donated $5. So yes, in all seriousness, we will say that you are the best griffballer of all time.
Yeah. It was at one time we tweeted Taco Pizza Hunter is the greatest griffballer of all time. And somebody replied with, this one actually is true.
It probably was Taco Pizza Hunter.
good stuff.
Yep. Physical rewards, like you actually get our swag either mailed to you or you can pick it up at RTX. That starts at $75. So anything $75 or above, you know, you get the lanyard, Simsack, t-shirt, poster, box art, buttons, wristbands, and stickers.
You know which one I'm most excited for?
The jersey?
Close. The Cards Against Griff.
Oh. Well, you do get the digital version
that's
of
true.
That.
Yeah. We have a special pack of Cards Against Humanity cards. They're modeled to look identical to the ones that are sold officially, but they have all Griffball / some Halo-related things on them. They're relatively PG, because the Cards Against Humanity pack itself is, you know, R-rated or NC-17 rated already. So ours are relatively PG, but they fit right in with your regular deck, and that actually makes them even funnier.
Yes, there's quite a few combinations that Cal and I have been playing with already, and they're pretty funny. Whether you match the white Griff card with the black Cards Against Humanity card or vice versa, it's good for, and the nice thing is that they are distinguishable. They have the little hammer logo on there.
On the text side, not the other side.
On the text side. So that way, if for some reason you're playing with non-Halo people, which I don't know what's wrong with you, but if you're playing with non-Halo people, you can remove
them. Hey, let's not hate on the other lower class of gamers.
Yeah.
They are technically gamers still. They're just not Halo. They're not part of the top tier.
Right. But you can easily identify them and remove them, so you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. So yeah, that you get a digital copy, which means we'll send you the files and we'll send you a site where you can print your own. If you donate $75, if you donate $115 or more, you'll get the full deck bound, shipped, printed, everything all set right to your door.
So if you're not as crafty or as industrial, I know I certainly am not. We would do the work for you.
Yep. You get the printed copy of the deck. It's 54 cards, 15 white cards, and 15 black cards and 39 white cards. So the black cards are
that's
the questions.
That's pretty good.
And the white cards are the answers.
Yeah. Yes, it's not too bad, especially when we were previously thinking that we would only be able to afford, like, the small expansions like they have for Cards Against Humanity that are...
A handful.
Yeah, about 3 black cards and then about 7 white cards.
But, you know, I think it's a 4-to-1 ratio.
Yeah, something like that. And it was, you know, kind of small. But we were able to do an entire regular card deck, so we're really excited about that. And they look pretty nice. Cal was holding them up, and I couldn't distinguish the actual Cards Against Griff, or I'm sorry, Cards Against Humanity versus our Cards Against Griff. So.
Yeah, but I mean, they look just like Cards Against Humanity.
And I mean, seriously, so. Who doesn't want, you know, Energy Sword and Gravity Hammer as part of their cards deck?
I don't know. They have to be crazy.
Yeah.
I think though, kind of based off this, because Ready Up Alive was talking about doing one as well, and they kind of let the ball drop on that, so it's at least good to see you guys do it. But have just a general Halo one. Like, put a bunch of different Halo things together, different lines from Johnson and Keys and Guilty Spark and all that stuff, and make basically a full Cards Against Halo set. I think that's possible. With how much stuff there is out there with Halo.
Oh, it's absolutely possible. The tough thing that we found through our community is getting it so that the white cards will fit with the black cards no matter what.
Grammatically speaking, there's a
certain grammatically,
math to it.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a trick there. So it really has to be funneled through like one or two people to make sure that everything is coherent and copacetic.
Right.
But there's tons of stuff in the Halo universe that you could easily make one. And the only part that's kind of tricky is the printing. The templates to make the cards is free. And, you know, obviously if anybody wants to take on that endeavor, let me know. I'd be happy to share what I have and share my knowledge. But it's the actual printing of the cards that is the kicker, because it's not...
you don't want to go to your local Staples and try to get it printed there.
No, absolutely not. It is unreasonable to do that.
But fortunately, we found a company that would print these cards and not... we explained about the Creative Commons license that comes with Cards Against Humanity, basically you can make your own expansions for them as long as you never, ever, ever sell them.
Never.
Which is why we're giving them away.
Similarly to the Halo swag.
Yeah.
The Griffball swag.
Yeah, we are giving these cards away. We're not selling them through the Kickstarter. We're just giving them to people who back us at certain levels.
Yes.
Right.
As a reward.
Which is totally legit.
Yes.
Or so we hope.
So this is why these cards and other Cards Against Humanity expansion packs that are not made by the official Cards Against Humanity guys, these will never, ever, ever be for sale.
Yeah, although it does remind me, and I don't want to take credit for this, but there was, I believe it was Molten Sloa who had put together the Cards Against Halo. He made...
He did an HBO set.
Yeah, he did an HBO set. And that's what really got us thinking about it. But one thing that was wrong with the HBO set that really got me was that there were a lot of really, really inside jokes or inside references that I just didn't get. And it really kind of dampened the experience.
Yeah, and a lot of it was done...
At least for me. Like,
yeah, well, a lot of that was done through an internal HBO forum thread that they had going. I checked it out a little bit, and he even had me look over some of them. And about, I want to say, 10% of the stuff I didn't get from the HBO side, but the rest of it seemed pretty kind of common, or I knew it just because of I'd been around HBO for a little bit.
Yeah, I'd say about
10%. You guys have definitely kind of stepped it up with your set, because you actually have the proper like playing card size, where his was just the square template. And you guys did a pretty good job in making sure that most people are going to understand a lot of stuff that you put out on the cards, but there are some specific Griffball-related cards in here.
Yes, there are. I mean, for example, Energy Sword. Any Halo person's going to get that. Gravity Hammer, any Halo person's going to get that.
Bernie Burns.
That one might be a little inside. But one of my favorite cards is, I think it's a white card, and it says, waiting in a custom lobby for 3 hours to play a game and then not playing it because somebody has to go to bed. And that one's pretty
what?
Inside. Yeah, spending 4 hours looking for a neutral host and then not playing the game because someone has to go to bed. And that one's, I fully accept that that's fully inside, because anybody who played specifically Halo 3 Griffball in the leagues, but even Halo Griffball right now today.
Happens before, yeah.
Where you're trying to find a neutral host, so someone to pull host who will be kept off the map. And it was really bad in Halo 3, and it's still pretty bad today. Spending hours looking for someone to find a neutral host, and there was an incident where they spent like 3 hours in a lobby trying to find somebody to pull, and then ultimately someone from the other team was like, screw this, I'm going to bed, and they never got to play the game.
And who said Griffball wasn't competitive?
So, it definitely was not us who said that. So, my favorite card, though, it's Kevin Franklin.
Yeah,
that one got us the other night.
It did. It's a little bit of trouble.
There was
the patron saint of Griffball Hub is Kevin Franklin.
Yes. We tweeted out a picture. There's one card that says in Halo 5, blank and blank will replace hammers and swords. And so we took a picture where we had that black card and the two white cards. One was Kevin Franklin, and the other one was a betrayal from BS Angel. And so we took that picture and tweeted it out. And Kevin Franklin retweeted it and said, I'm now a Cards Against Humanity card. My life is complete. And then he started getting replies from incredulous Halo fans saying, does this mean Halo 5 is confirmed?
Yeah, they were really going after him.
I was like, this is a really, really sly way to confirm Halo 5.
No. And someone even responded with, you're denying this awfully strongly. Why are you being so defensive? Sorry.
I'm sure he was okay with it, though. So talk about some of the other physical swag stuff that you have with your Kickstarter. You have some shirts, lanyards, wristbands, all that, some other stuff in here, too.
Yep. We have one of them that we're sold out of right now for the moment are Griffball jerseys. We have these really cool soccer-style jerseys that are Griffball. So they're orange, they have a couple white stripes, they say Griffball on the front, and then they have little hammer and ball logo, or a normal logo would go on a soccer jersey. And they're fully customizable, so you get your choice of name and number on the back. You can have whatever name you want on the back, numbers on the back.
I currently have the only one in the world.
Yes, we ordered a test one for Goose.
I'm so excited.
He's very special.
Very nice. I'm excited to get one of those, too.
I got one. Yeah, it was
So wait, so you're saying on the custom we should put pod?
Yeah.
No.
So that way no. It's going to be pod and...
Yeah, pod.
Pod and zero.
Yep.
No.
That's one of our cool. That's one of our coolest items. We only have they're expensive, obviously, so we only have a limited number to give away. We had 8 to start with. They're already sold out for the Kickstarter. We're looking into ways to move some numbers around in our budget for RTX to be able to offer more jerseys during the Kickstarter. We would just add another reward tier, and people can either donate at that level, or they can upgrade their previous donation to that level. So we're looking at making that happen, but the jerseys are very, very cool.
Did we give a shout out to Dustin Griffith who donated?
No, but we need to.
Shout out to Dustin Griffith for donating to the Griffball Hub Kickstarter. I'm giving you a round of applause.
Yeah.
I'll go in and post.
He also was the one that he got second place in our Halo Community Appreciation Giveaway.
Oh, awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah, he wrote us a really, really cool song. I don't know if you guys have heard it yet, but we've touted it around the Twitters.
I don't think I heard it.
But we're going to have him on the show, I think, next month to kind of talk about the way he wrote the song, what influenced him, why did he want to write a song about us, and all that good stuff. But yeah, he's in the chat right now, so shout outs to you. Thanks again for all the support that you are giving everybody, apparently.
Yeah, if you're at RTX, Cal will give you a free hug.
I will?
Yes.
If you say so, and I have your permission.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of, lending you out.
Okay. Just as long very as nice. It's to them, the podcast folks, and not to the Griffballers.
Yes.
The Griffballers get very handsy, and it makes me worried.
Yes. No, I hear the podtacular community is a lot cleaner.
We try to be. Least,
yeah. Okay. And that's setting the bar pretty low to say they're cleaner than the Griffball community. But,
yeah.
But yes. So Dustin says it'll be fun. So,
okay.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a good time. It's a very good time.
One of the other things that a couple folks jumped on, another thing that was a limited item in the Kickstarter, were our Griffball calendars.
Oh, those were cool.
Yeah, so we got custom Griffball
calendars. I'd
like to
say that was my idea.
It was awesome.
It was Dusty's idea. I remember tweeting out saying, hey, what kind of stuff would you want to see? And it was awesome because we got them done at Vistaprint. And Vistaprint was having a 50% off of calendar sale. So we were actually able to get more than we thought we would. Still not as many as we'd like, but... They look pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very shiny.
I'm going to have take a sneak at one because unfortunately I did not donate to the tier that would get a calendar. So
he donated more.
Yeah.
That's
well,
okay.
maybe we can hook you up with maybe we can hook you up. Christmas is coming, Dusty, and we know where you live. So
that is true. I am moving in a month, but you'll have my address still. So.
Oh, I'd say, well, then the person living in your new apartment
will enjoy their new Griffball calendar.
I'm not moving that far away, and forwarding address and all that stuff should work. But yeah, so a lot of cool stuff with the Kickstarter. And again, guys, if you want to see them out, they're holding this for RTX, which is on July 4th. So make sure you head on over there if you can. Go get your tickets, rtxevent.com. And
If by any chance we raise more than $8,000, can I just talk about our other stretch goals quick?
Sure.
Our super stretch goals. I don't even know if we'll hit 8,000 because that's, but if...
I think you guys will hit 8,000. I think you guys will hit 8,000. I'm not sure if you'll hit the tier after that, but I think you guys will hit 8,000.
If we hit 9,400, everybody who donates $115 and more, we'll get a Griffball wristband, a sweatband, to go with it so they can really look the authentic part of a real sports person.
Yeah, yeah. All athletes need sweatbands, right?
Yep.
That's what athletes do.
Yep. If we hit $10,500, we'll be able to sell our Griffball Hub Griff tees at our booth, so people won't have to go through our website or wait for our limited run of t-shirts. They can just go to RTX and buy them.
Yes.
And then this will also allow us, after RTX, to just have a steady supply of these t-shirts for sale at our website at all times.
So pretty much it would be kind of jumpstarting a legitimate store for Griffball apparel.
Yes. So that would be $10,500 if we reach that level. At $11,000, we upgrade our booth a little bit by getting internet access there, and we print a run of bumper stickers, and we have more sweatbands to give away. If we hit 13,300, we have real Griff Ball Club high-quality water bottles.
Not the fake ones you may have heard about.
Yes, real. These are, like, actually exist in third-dimensional space.
I think they're in the fourth dimension.
Fourth dimension. The water bottles travel through time. As time goes by, less and less water in them. They travel at a rate of 1 second per second.
The water bottles are the doctor.
Yes.
Okay, that's getting, that's a little too weird. Don't mess with my Doctor Who.
Our final stretch goal is $14,300. If we hit that, we'll be able to upgrade some of our other swag again, but we'll also be able to offer a $1,000 prize pool for the winners of our Griffball tournament at RTX.
Woo!
Nice.
It's probably the best chance you have of winning $1,000.
Playing Griffball.
Yeah, because we're, well.
Yep.
Well, yeah. Not me, because I'm not that good at Griffball.
You just get three good teammates.
Yeah,
they can carry you.
Get a backpack. A backpack to pack you in.
Yep.
And then you are pack set.
What is it called? A gaggle of Griffballers?
Yes. we are a gaggle. I think the count is up around 20 so far.
We're going to RTX.
Of people just from our community who are going to RTX, and then that does not count the really overwhelming response that we received last year. That was, it's kind of hard to put even into words, because we had set up the booth and they were about to open the doors, and we had 8 exhibitor badges, because you get 4 exhibitor badges per booth. And so we had 8 people there helping us set up and get ready. And then we had broken shifts down into 4 people per shift. And so opening shift, you know, Cal and I made sure we were there. We had little help. I think it was Alley Cat and Merherder. But, you know, some of the other staff members were kind of hanging around. And then as soon as they opened the gates, I remember my pulse jumping and my heart starting to beat faster and, like, the hair on the back of my neck starting to stand up and this little voice in my head saying, run! Run away! Because there was this avalanche of people. It was scary for me. I'd never seen anything like it. I mean, there's a large swath that instantly went into the Rooster Teeth store, which we were right next to, and a large swath that instantly jutted off to go play Halo. But there was a wall of people, and to the point where we had enforcers coming to enforce our lines. We had to put down queue lines on the floor with tape. I think we had masking tape so people knew where to stand. It was really, really overwhelming for me, at least.
It was wonderful to see how successful your booth was. And you guys got a lot of attention, more so than some of the other vendors that were there.
It's because all of our stuff was free. And nobody could believe that. People kept coming up asking, well, how much for this wristband and how much for this button? We just told them, it's swag. It's free. Please just take it. And then there were the creepy people who were trying to buy the Griffball shirts off our backs, and the ones who were trying to buy the prize items.
And yeah, because we had a limited number of cinch sacks and t-shirts because, you know, those are more
cost.
Expensive. Yes. Yeah. And so those things we would give away at random drawings during the day, or, you know, filling out funny photo captions, or people who won tournaments and such at the booth. Mm-hmm. But there were some people who were like, no, seriously, I'll give you $50 for that.
We're like, no. Thank you. That's very kind. $100. Thank you. That's very kind. But this is a prize. And they just couldn't believe that we were turning away their money. But if we have a booth where we can sell t-shirts, we'll take your money now.
Exactly. So you need to get that up. Get those other stretch goals.
Yeah, it's only about $5,000 away.
Yeah, we can do it.
We just got a double in the last 2 weeks.
Yep.
We can totally do that. And what we are doing, in addition to being on the lovely Podtacular with our gracious hosts here, we're actually going to be on a podcast tomorrow night, the Married Gamers podcast, to talk about it. And then next Saturday, so not this upcoming Saturday, but next Saturday, we are officially announcing on Podtacular, so this is a Podtacular exclusive, we are officially announcing that we will be running a 24-hour gaming marathon to raise funds for RTX.
So very nice.
We'll be playing Griffball, but we'll also be playing, we have some Titanfall scheduled to do some live streaming on.
Very nice.
We also have a lot of community input. There's some Griffball horse maps that it reminded me of you, Dusty, and of Jack. And that's all I'll say about that.
I know what's going on here.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. And then we also have reward tiers set
up. You must show me before that happens, though.
Oh, yeah.
You could hop on the stream and do it.
Yeah, because we really want this to be interactive with the community. It's not just Cal and I playing and everybody laughing at how bad we are for 24 hours, but we really want to get the community involved. So when we go into matchmaking in Griffball, or if we do, on Titanfall, we're going to pull in anybody else who has Titanfall on the Xbox One. And for this horse challenge, I think that's what we're calling it, is horse, but it's really kind of an obstacle course. We'll pull in people, and Taco, Nuclear Taco 42, who has created the track, has actually created two tracks, so you can race simultaneously. And we're just really hoping that's going to be a very collaborative community kind of event. And of course, we have incentives. Yay! Congratulations! Thank you, Sal! I don't know who Sal is, but thank you so much! Yes, this is Kiki Wolfkill. Yes. And I just wanted to officially let everybody know that we're replacing Halo 5 with Griffball. Officially. As per me, who is Kiki Wolfkill.
Totally.
Is that you, Josh Holmes?
Yes, it is. You heard it here first, guys, on Podtacular. Podtacular exclusives.
The plot line, I can't give away much for Halo 5, but the plot line is the UNSC won't let Master Chief leave Earth. He's restricted to Earth. And so he joins the American Griffball League of America.
Yes.
And becomes a team captain. And so the whole plot is turning your team of scruffy ragamuffins who don't know the value of teamwork. You have to pull these scrappy folks together and form them into a championship-winning Griffball team.
It's really a rags-to-riches Mighty Ducks kind of story.
It is. We actually took a lot of inspiration from the Mighty Ducks.
We did.
Okay. What's that going to do to the Halo canon, though? That's going to be very different.
And then Cortana manifests as the energy that blocks the goals from being scored.
Yeah, there's a lot of hard light.
But regardless, we'll have the 24-hour gaming marathon, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it. But we also have incentives on there, as if anybody needed it. But, for example, one that we are at liberty to talk about is, for every $100 we raise, Cal will dance, Just Dance, on stream.
Wait, is just me now? I thought it was both of us.
Nobody cares about me.
No, but you
because I'm actually good at it. They don't want to see me.
That's right. You'll make me look bad.
That is true. So, for example, that's what we'll do. If we, the first time we hit $100, we will do Just Dance on stream. When we hit $200, we'll do another song, so on and so forth. And then we also have a ton of stuff to give away. So every couple $100, we've got Halo posters. We have, I think we have a Greg Bear hardcover novel. We have
a couple Griffball plushies.
We have Griffball plushies. We have all the stuff that we've collected from all these cons, and we are going to be giving it away to help raise money for the Kickstarter.
Very nice. And just to let you guys know, those plushies, those Griffball plushies, aren't for sale anymore. So this is one of the only places that you can get them.
Yep, that's true.
That is. And I think we have two or three to give away? Two. So yeah, we have two to give, so.
Very nice.
Definitely tune in and feel free to join us if any of those games sound fun. And then, of course, we'll be having our Hubcast in 2 weeks, which is our podcast on Griffball Hub. And we will be closing out the Kickstarter on there.
Yep, two
and
weeks
you never
from
know.
Tonight.
You never know what's going to happen during the final countdown, because I believe in the last 5 minutes, we auctioned off a lap dance from Tex to Lancer.
Really?
Yes. So you never know. You never know what's going
to
come out.
We said the last person to donate to the Kickstarter gets a lap dance from Tex, and there was actually fierce competition.
People started sniping each other. It was
like
event.
Someone who Lanchop had already donated, but people were going in and just upping their donation by $1 to try to be the last one. And they kept doing that over and over again.
Wow. That's impressive.
So yeah, it's crazy, but it's the Halo community, and we are just so happy to be able to represent the Halo community, because to my knowledge, we were the first fan run site to have a fan presence at an official exhibition. At least as far as Halo is concerned. Now, I know the 405th was there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they count.
You don't think they count?
Because they didn't try as hard as we did.
Oh, okay. So. They didn't have to try as hard?
Exactly. They probably made their booth from scratch and resin and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. Leo's got a good point. That if we actually have the $1,000 prize pool at RTX, then the Ways and Means Committee can we can actually show off our real skill that we've been hiding for the last 5 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh.
Although, that's going to make it tough. I really don't think you and I should be eligible for prizes.
Oh, you're all banned. Sorry.
So yeah, no staff. No staff.
You all donated $1,000 to our Kickstarter. Chris and I will be taking that. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Some under-the-table deals there.
What's it called? Pain and suffering, right? That's a line item.
We get money for that.
Yeah. No, we're just really excited. And I know last year, you know, Dusty was at our booth a lot and took some amazing pictures that are just still fantastic to go back and look at. And it was great to have you there, Dusty. And I'm glad that you had a good experience at our booth. And we just hope that we can deliver even more this time around.
Looking forward to it. So, again, this is for Griffball Hub's Kickstarter, which is a booth at RTX, which is on July 4th in Austin, Texas. So we'll have links on the podcast post once we have this posted. So check it out, poddeckler.com, and check out griffballhub.com.
.com.
So on some other news, there is some other news that is Halo-related. I know, shocker, but we're going to cover it anyways.
Wait, like shooty Halo?
Not necessarily. No. I mean,
just Halo. Just Halo. Yeah. So, for those of you who know what Project Spark is, it's a creative platform that has been in beta, and it just recently came out for beta on the Xbox One. And there's someone by the name of SC Spider that is actually doing a project to remake the Silent Cartographer on Project Spark. And so far, he's done a pretty interesting job. So, We've heard and seen some other little Halo things being done in Project Spark, but nothing on this scale yet. So if you've seen some of the smaller Halo posts and stuff, I found this one on HBO. But if you kind of head over there and check out the project that he's made in Project Spark, it's pretty cool. Still has some fleshing out to do. And of course, you can't get the models in there for Master Chief or the Grunts, but he has them as close as he can get. And the island itself is starting to come along pretty nicely. So it's nice to see Halo kind of get integrated into some other projects, platforms, games, and all that stuff. So I thought this was an interesting thing to share. I have Project Spark for Windows 8 and Xbox One, but I haven't gotten into it yet.
I feel Project Spark the same way I feel about Forge, that it's really cool, and I'm really excited to look at what other people can do with it, but it is way too intimidating for me.
Well, I mean,
I kind of feel the same way. Because there's that one area of like Forge that is all the pieces are there. You pretty much have a semi-open template to make your craft and to make your maps or whatever you decide to do with it. If it's maps, screenshots, jump maps, or whatever. But when you do something like Project Spark, it's almost like you're completely designing a experience from the ground up. You have this playground to do whatever you want, kind of like Garry's Mod, kind of doing something in 3DS Max, but without all the hassle of technically knowing how to import shapes and all that stuff, but it's still kind of daunting when you look at it.
Well, if I remember right, when you build something in Project Spark, it actually shows you the code, but the code has been translated into a super simple representation. So I'm not saying these are specifically what they do, but you know, a plus sign and then a heart and then a plus sign and an arrow and things like that. And that was one thing that they worked really hard on with Project Spark, is to make it accessible to people like kind of like us who might otherwise be intimidated. I have a beta code. I've been really meaning to get on there and try some stuff out. But I agree with you.
Maybe you can make a box.
That's exactly what Cal just mimed to me. You jerks.
It was a very nice box.
It worked.
And then afterwards, Taco was like, don't you know about snapping?
Snap and rotation and magnetic lock and blah, blah, blah. But no, I agree with Dusty that it's really cool to see Halo be so pervasive that pretty much no matter where you go, you see it in other things. And you see other places kind of adapting it. And I know in Minecraft, how many Griffball variants have we seen played in Minecraft? You know, it's kind of everywhere, and it's really, really cool to see it. It's not just a game, it's kind of a cultural icon now.
And there's even, or there was, I don't think it's up anymore, but the Halo MC server. where it was a rotation of, I believe, Capture the Flag and Slayer on a variety of different maps that was made in Minecraft. Had things like rocket launchers, BRs, pistols, everything that was kind of implemented into Minecraft and customized in terms of skins and how other things kind of interact with the modding that you can do with Minecraft. And just to see that kind of thing, like you said, pervades through a bunch of different experiences in the gaming world is just, it's awesome.
Yeah, because it's not just a game, because people, I mean, they took the time and the effort to build something in that environment. And, you know, in something like a beta, it's really the first time you have the first chance to build something. And the first thing you want to build is Silent Cartographer. That's pretty hardcore and amazing.
Well, it's one of the most iconic campaign levels from the franchise.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I just hope that the physics work so that you can load the Warthog and blow it sky high. And
with the Warthog launches.
Yep. Oh, no, that was really, really great to see.
I mean, Brent probably knows more about a variety of different games. Do you know of any other, like, Easter eggs that are Halo-specific? Because I know from just the amount of games I play, Brent is a lot more involved with other games than I am.
I really can't think of any other Easter eggs.
Because I know from there's the Halo Mjolnir mix and Guitar Hero. There's that Halo reference.
That's a good one.
The Halo Minecraft server.
Or isn't it, I think this is correct, I'm not sure, but the voice AI on the new Microsoft phones is called Cortana.
Yeah, that's true. We talked about that last week. Yeah. And that's already kind of popped out in the wild in certain places. But yeah, and there's definitely some other areas that I'm just not thinking of right now that there's little Easter eggs for Halo. I believe Google Maps even has a Halo on there somewhere.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think that's a Google Maps Easter egg, is that there's a Halo somewhere.
So, yeah, I don't see any COD stuff. So, meh.
Nope.
Well, you know where we will see a lot of COD?
Alaska?
I was going to say Boston.
Boston for PAX East!
That's only a month away!
Yeah. Yay! I'm guessing you're going, Dusty.
Yes, I'm going.
Excellent. We will be there.
I will be rooming with Vanny and Bill.
Who's at Bill? RTX.
One of her friends.
Sour Bill.
Sour what?
Well.
I don't know. It's one of her friends, and one of Rob's friends too.
Cool.
Sing Mao. I don't think he can make it this year though.
He's the Twitch guy.
No, he's Big Team Battle, I think.
But Sing Mao is the guy on Twitch who has a black name who drops stuff. TSENGMAO.
I don't think he's with Twitch.
He's not Twitch.
Then why does he have a black name?
He has Twitch Turbo.
And he always gives us codes.
He is Twitch Turbo, and he just is a very generous person.
Okay. Well, I thought he was Twitch something, so. I'm sure he's still very nice.
Yeah, he's cool. He's a cool dude. We hung out a little bit. I think it was last PAX East. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I'll be staying with them, and it'll be hopefully not as cold this year. Because I remember last year there was snow still on the ground.
Miserable last year.
It's always miserable. Every year at Boston, I don't think I think you would have to have pretty high expectations to have a nice March. No, April.
In Boston.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, to be fair, last year it was in March, and this year it's in April.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, fingers crossed. But, yeah, the schedule came out today. Or yesterday. Maybe today.
Late yesterday. And they officially posted it on the Twitter earlier this morning.
There are a couple of Kickstarter panels we're going to. There's a Halo 4 tournament.
Yes.
Yep. I haven't looked through the rest of the schedule, but I'm going to try, of course, to hit the Rooster Teeth panel.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's try my luck in getting there.
It's early. It's Friday, I think, like 11 or noon.
Yeah, it's one of the first ones of the expo.
Yep.
Right. I think it's the one right after the keynote.
Oh, right. They do that.
Oh, well, crap. Yep.
We'll get in. That's okay.
What do you mean, we'll get in?
We'll get in. Well, I'll get in because I'll be
if there's a will, there's a way. Believe.
My t-shirt will say, I'm with Goose.
Oh, yeah, because
that opens doors.
Yeah. The door out. The exit is where they open. Yeah, it's a month away. Definitely looking forward to it. And so, I mean, I'm just trying to think about it. So next month is PAX, and by the time PAX is done, we'll only be 3 months out from RTX.
Scary.
And once RTX is done, we're only two months out from PAX Prime.
Prime. Exactly.
It's crazy.
Yep.
It's convention season.
It is. It is.
Well, and I may be hitting San Diego Comic-Con and or E3 this year, so.
Oh, my gosh. Well, good luck with Comic-Con, because I know the tickets on that are even more insane.
Yeah, the whole ticket process starts Saturday morning.
Oh, well, Godspeed and good luck. Go find some Google Fiber.
Thanks. I've been told I have a closet of a hotel room I can sleep in if I manage to go, so I don't have to pay outrageous amounts of money for a hotel room.
All right, well, I'm from that area, so if you need anything in San Diego.
Oh, I did not know that.
To eat, so.
Very nice. I'll keep that in mind, and I'll hit you up if I need anything.
Awesome.
Well, I can tell being on Podtacular, as you know, it's always an awesome experience to be on Podtacular.
Absolutely.
But, and this time it's particularly paid because we went from 66% funded to 69%.
Yeah, 69 Podtacular.
Very nice. Oh.
This is Podtacular, not Griffball. I'm sorry. Mind out of the gutter. Thank you very much, Podtacular, for
Maybe it'll bump up to 70 and we won't have to have that by the end of the show.
Be about another $80, and we'll be 70% funded.
Okay, make it happen, people.
Thank you, Dusty, for letting us come on and talk.
Yeah, definitely. You guys are always welcome.
I guess speaking of conventions and events, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dusty. I'm sorry.
This is not the hub.
This is not my podcast.
Yeah, this is.
I should not be introducing new topics. I'm sorry.
Here we go.
Yeah. See, well, you had your 40 minutes of fame.
Okay, sweetie. Go ahead, Dusty.
So. Some other news for those that are kind of Halo Machinima, I guess, longtime fans. The Codex, which is a Machinima that came out shortly after Red vs. Blue came out from Rooster Teeth, has released their full-length unsegmented version of their Codex series, which was about 20 episodes long. It was about 2 hours, and it was one of the other Machinimas that had a lot of attention back in the day. Not as big as Red vs. Blue, but it definitely had a certain presence with the Machinima community that around Halo. So it's a very well done series. The guys at Edgeworks Entertainment did a very good job when they made this. They actually had a DVD on sale for a while, but that's no longer for sale. I think they ran into some licensing issues with Bungie and Microsoft back in the day. But if you want to see some really good Halo Machinima, because I know there's been some people just browsing through Twitter and stuff that have kind of said that the Halo Machinima, as it once was, has kind of died out. If you want to see some good stuff and you haven't heard of this or haven't watched it before, definitely go check it out. The website is edgeworksent.com, and they also have another series that kind of follows up to it called The Heretic. So you can watch that afterwards as well. But if you're interested in Halo Machinima and are looking for a new experience, I would suggest go checking that out. And I believe everyone here has seen it, right?
I don't think I've heard of it, but I don't think I ever saw it.
Brent, I think you've seen it, right?
I've seen parts of it.
Okay. So it's a wonderful Machinima piece. It back in the day when Red vs. Blue and it was out at the same time, they were getting very similar views. They were and getting wide notoriety, but they kind of stopped after they finished the Codex series and after they did the Heretic stuffs, but their website's still up. You can still go over and check out the videos, and they're really fun to watch, really entertaining, very well done. The voice acting's good. The character acting is fantastic. The integration of the story and the Halo multiplayer is just phenomenal and probably one of the best Halo Machinimas out there, in my opinion.
Well, we'll definitely have to go check it out then.
It's a lot of fun. I'll post it on the podcast post again as well. It was on HBO a couple days ago that they actually released the full version. You can still find all the independent episodes out there too, but the full version experience is one to kind of sit down, watch, and enjoy.
Nice. I know that's one thing that Cal and I still enjoy doing is sitting down and watching like an entire season of Red vs. Blue. Because it does feel like a television show at that point.
Yeah, there's a certain just kind of juxtaposition to sitting down and watching a full series or just a season through. I know I did. I just sat down and watched the whole Red vs. Blue from season 1 to season 8 a few years ago, and I probably need to do it again. because I have the 10-year anniversary set, and I just need to probably find time after I'm done working on a certain project and then a couple other things.
I don't know what project you could possibly be talking about.
I'll announce it at the end of the show, like okay. I always do. So definitely check that out if you're into the Halo Machinima stuff and you're looking for some new things to get into and possibly look at as well. And that kind of covers it for non-bulletin news. So over to bulletin news for this week. We have the Proving Grounds playlist, which is going to be replacing the Team Throwdown playlist come next week. We have a few more details on that. So if you guys were here last week, then you would have heard that the Proving Grounds playlist is somewhat of a spin-off of Legendary BR Slayer. So what you're going to get is BR Start, no armor abilities or personal ordnance, and you do have the motion tracker, so that's kind of opposite of what you normally see in competitive or throwdown game types. We have 10 different maps are going to be played on. Abandoned, Adrift, Haven, Onyx, Orion, Pitfall, Shutout, Simplex, Skyline, and Vertigo. And the Orion map is actually a new Forge map that they're going to be introducing to the matchmaking system. So we have a few screenshots on the bulletin if you want to go check it out. And I believe there is a link on the War Games forums on Waypoint as well. So you can probably go download it, check it out before it hits matchmaking next week. So I'm pretty sure everyone here hasn't really had much interest in the Team Throwdown playlist before, right?
No.
An accurate assumption.
So I guess kind of a general question to everyone in the Twitch stream and for everyone here is, does this kind of change attitudes towards the, I guess, the replacement competitive game type? And do you think this will get more numbers than just being at the bottom of the matchmaking playlist week to week?
Are there hammers?
There could be. There's increased variety of power weapons throughout the map. It's not personal ordnance, but they're going to be around the map, so there may be hammers.
Then yes, I am now more interested.
Very nice. I know for me, I probably won't play it as much, but I'll probably play to get into it and just to mess around. It's nice to see that, well, no, not to rap on the competitive community or what Team Throwdown was, but the fact that we have had a mass exodus of the competitive community to Halo 3, it's nice to see that they're kind of making changes to the matchmaking system to kind of accommodate a little bit more to the base that's there and possibly introduce a new playlist that'll help offer a little bit more variety to the matchmaking experience.
Can I rag on the competitive community or no?
Sure, go ahead. But just a disclaimer, the views of Griffball Hub do not reflect the views of Podtacular.
No. The views of Calvagarian do not represent the views of Griffball Hub.
Okay, that works too.
I just don't understand what the problem is. I feel like 343, you know, their game designers have gone crazy since Halo 4 came out, giving every single thing they can think of to the competitive community. And they're still pulling their hair out, screaming, what more do they want? What more do they want? Like, people complain that, okay, we need a playlist that's like classic Halo, so we don't have custom loadouts. And like, okay, sure, you got it. Okay, we need something without ordinances. Okay, you got it. We put that playlist in. Okay, we need tweaks on the weapons because the DMR is way too powerful. Okay, let's bring in a bunch of pros, get them in, sit them down at 343. Let's release a title update and tweak all the weapons. Okay, but we need some kind of like live event. Okay, well, let's do a $500,000 live Halo 4 LAN event and do a huge pro tournament. Like, I don't know what else 343 can do to make these people happy.
I think a lot of it is stuff that, at its core, Halo, as a multiplayer system, does not really, what's the word I'm looking for, appeal to the competitive gamer. If you look at a lot of the stuff that people are going back and playing Halo 3 for, is the maps and some of just the core mechanics of the game, which you can't really change some of those things in the Halo 4 engine. They're set that way for a reason, like the ability to sprint and having the additional armor abilities, which have been still left in the Team Throwdown playlist and game types, some of the map designs and how players move, and some of those core things that people are wanting to go back and experience. And the other part of it is that they're just stubborn and don't like change.
I would like to offer a psychological perspective.
Okay.
If I may. I think that Halo 3 was the height of the Halo franchise.
Definitely was.
It had the most amount of people that took part in it. And it was also the height of competitive Halo. Not so much of the mechanics necessarily. I'm sure that had a lot to do with it. But as far as being on the MLG circuit as well, because when you think about the teams, you think about the teams that got big in Halo 3. I mean, there were some Halo 2 teams that came, or teams that competed in Halo 2.
And Halo 1 teams.
And Halo 1. But Halo 3 was really like the high point. And I don't, I'm sure, there's part of me, people don't like change. People form emotional attachments to things that are very important to them when they're kind of exposed to it. And there's a reason that Halo 2 is my favorite Halo game. And, I mean, the campaign is hands down the best. But as far as multiplayer goes, I have positive emotional associations with, you know, staying up till 9 a.m. playing, you know, Halo 2 with Cal and my dorm friends. And I feel like the largest portion of the Halo community was part of Halo 3, therefore they have those incredibly positive associations with it, and that's what they're holding on to. They're holding on to what was, and I think that's part of the reason that 343 will never, most likely never really be able to recapture that. They're going to have to do something totally different. Instead of trying to make things like it was, they're going to have to try and put something out there that is even more enticing.
Right.
Because I feel like that's, you know, if it truly is game mechanics, that coupled with the emotional attachment that people have to Halo 3, there's no beating that. Like, you can't replicate that. You can't go back in time to when people had those experiences. Right. I think that's a large portion of it.
And Brent, I know you kind of have that, the Halo 2 clan from the Podtacular era. What do you think that would kind of reflect on going from a game like Halo 2 and Halo 3, where you do have that core fan base, to something that's completely new?
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of on the downside of Halo's popularity right now. I mean, when Halo 4 switched over to a different studio, I think a lot of people jumped ship. I think a lot of Halo fans were actually Bungie fans, and that they just wanted to stick with that studio. So most of those people are excited for Destiny right now. And so you have this franchise that's being run by people that, I mean, they love Halo. I mean, 343, everybody that got hired there loves Halo. But in terms of making new game design that pushes the series forward in a way that gamers want, I'm not sure that they've got the chops for that yet, just because they're a new studio.
I think one aspect of it, too, that really can't be downplayed is just how arena shooters have hit their peak. Like, Halo was like Quake. Halo was like any other shooter that came out in 2001 or in the late 90s, where you get plopped down on a plain map, you have a handful of weapons. You know, on your computer, you hit your 1 through 9 keys, and those are, you had 9 weapons available, and that's basically what Halo was designed around, is you have a very limited number of weapons. You have a very limited number of abilities, and it's just shoot, and you have a lot of health. So that takes a long time to take somebody down. So you have sustained long firefights. But these days, Twitch shooters are what's most popular.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Call of Duty is what's most popular, where you die in just a second or two.
2 seconds.
And there's dozens and dozens of weapons and a whole bunch of upgrades for each weapon. And there's really that height of expertise that people need to reach to be really, really good at the game. And people who are good at the game are exponentially better at people who are new to the game. And that there's a huge learning curve in something like Call of Duty that doesn't really exist in Halo. And I think these days, competitive players want to accentuate their goodness. They want to accentuate how awesome they are by, you know, beating everybody else. And that would draw them more towards a Twitch shooter, where their kind of talent is better rewarded than an arena shooter like Halo.
I kind of agree and disagree to certain points of that, because with Halo, what we've had in the past, and I think one of the reasons, and I talked to Ghost Yama about this last year, is a lot of the things that kind of drive that competitive edge for Halo back in the day was, one, the ranking system. I mean, Halo 3, everyone is talking about that ranking system and how it needs to be brought back, and just kind of the steeper learning curve it takes to get into the game. Now, for the Halo 3 experience for social, it was kind of a good balance of people when you get in. Every now and then you would get your one or two games that you would just get creamed by a team of good people in there. But most of the time when you went into social, you had a pretty just good fun time. And then in the ring stuff, that's where you got into your very competitive skill players, and that's when the experience was a lot more enjoyable for those that were into that kind of thing. And I believe if you foster that growth in the upcoming Halo title, whether it's Halo 5, which we think it is, or whatever it's going to be called, then I think a lot of that competitive drive that used to be in Halo is going to start to trickle back a little bit. Granted, it will never be as big as it was in Halo 2 or Halo 3 with regard to the ratio of gamers on the console at that time to the gamers that were playing Halo, but it would bring back some of the quote-unquote core competitive Halo gamers back to the system, I think.
I think what I'd like to see for Halo 5 is for them to be really innovative, as instead of trying to clone the previous
Halo titles. That needs to happen too.
You know, I think about Titanfall, and on one hand, it is a twitch shooter, because if you are on the ground and not in a mech, it is a twitch shooter. It's like playing SWAT or playing COD. But if you're in the mech, you know, there's actually, you know, there's some strategy. You don't have to be the first
person. When you're a pilot, it's Call of Duty. When you're in a mech, it's Halo.
Yeah, you know, think of it kind of that way. And the way you can run on the walls, and the way that you can climb over obstacles, and just the way you can interact with your environment, I personally really, really enjoy it. And I would love to see Halo come out with some kind of new, original, forward-thinking mechanic that makes the game just fun to play. Because that's ultimately what it's all about. It's fun to play. People are going to play it.
Right.
Instead of being stuck on, you know, what they've done before, what's come before. You obviously stay true to the franchise and the story and whatnot, but, I mean, think about if Halo 2 had stayed true to Halo 1. We'd never dual wield. We wouldn't jack ghosts. You know, there wouldn't be, you know, active camo that would be in a little bubble, because Halo 2 didn't have that.
Mm-mm.
Or you wouldn't have regenerating health versus health packs. I still, health packs are the devil, by the way. Before you reach, that's all I got to say.
Well, and there's a lot of other things in Halo 4 as it came out that just needs to be balanced. And I think one of the downfalls was, from a competitive perspective, is there wasn't really that competitive focus or that competitive mindset when Halo initially came out. And it took them a while to even get settings there that the competitive community would really latch onto. And even then, you already had people have left by then, and then it was just a slow trickle out when they just couldn't change the game enough to adhere to what people were looking for.
Well, and it's a lot more ADHD now, where there's a new giant blockbuster title coming out every 3 months, as opposed to when Halo 3 came out, it was one of just two or three huge blockbuster titles that came out. Right.
Modern Warfare wasn't even out yet when I don't think when Halo 3 came out.
Gears, yeah, it was.
When did Modern Warfare?
Call
of Duty 4, right?
I thought it was out. It was Gears that was out, sorry.
Yeah, Gears came out in 2006.
That's right. Gears was out. Call of Duty Modern Warfare wasn't out yet.
And even Gears was a much simpler game as a third-person shooter. And, you know,
like a puppy. That was, oh.
but yeah, and when Halo 3 came out, there was no competition. Halo was the game, period. And it was early in the 360's life cycle, too. So all the other AAA titles, there were a lot of other ones that were still in development.
Mm.
But when Halo 4 came out, not only were we competing with other shooters like Black Ops and, you know, other Call of Duty games, but you also had new Gears games. You also had epic things like Mass Effect and Skyrim come out. I mean, you had a lot of AAA titles that were taking a lot of time away from people who would otherwise be playing Halo 4.
So I think we all kind of agree that it's not as simple. And if there's someone saying, ZOMG, 343, you ruined everything, why don't you just have me do it? You're probably wrong. Because it's everything. It's complex. It's not a simple black and white answer.
No, it's not. But we're going to have podcasts to cover this in detail. And next week we're going to actually have a podcast on Titanfall and some of the things that Titanfall did with the beta that 343 could take hint on and with the game. So we're going to talk about that next week. So a little foreshadowing for you guys there.
Excellent. I love a good literary device.
I try to impress whenever I can.
You always do, Dusty.
Aw, thank you.
Those cookies? Mm-hmm.
Yes, you'll have some of those at PAX East.
Excellent.
So moving on to some more of the bulletin stuff. We had the voting for last week for Proving Ground be put up. It was between Capture the Flag, Extraction, and King of the Hill. And the community voted for Extraction.
Ew. So, sorry.
I like Extraction.
I'm sorry. When anything goes up against Capture the Flag, that's it for me. That's I need the flag. It's so happy.
Well, so it's not to say that we're not going to see Capture the Flag in King of the Hill. But they said because of the time that they have to set up the game type and the playlist, that they could only have room for one of the voting options in Slayer. So it's going to start out with Slayer and Extraction for Proving Grounds, and then they're going to implement Capture the Flag and King of the Hill as they have time to add it to the map set. So this is just to start out with. It's not the final list of game types that you're going to get for Proving Grounds, but this is the first one that you're going to get is, along with Slayer, Extraction.
All right.
Which is also funny, because Extraction is going to be the rotational playlist for the next 2 weeks.
Oh, so you can really get your Extraction on.
Oh, yeah, if you need those commendations, this is the time to do it.
I wonder if people knew that if the Extraction playlist was coming, would they have chose Extraction in the community poll? Like,
probably.
You would have to think that because of the Extraction playlist in there, people probably just defaulted to Extraction. And I do think Extraction is a pretty interesting game type. It was one of the new ones that they had for Halo, kind of a spin-off of Territories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I personally enjoy it. I would like to see some multi-team extraction, so I hope in the playlist that they have that as an option. I doubt we'll see it. It's probably going to be two teams, but it would be nice to get on some time and do some multi-team extraction, because I've only played it, I believe, two or three times. And both times, I had a very fun time playing it. It gets a little hectic because of how many teams there are, but it's a lot of fun. So, moving on from the matchmaking stuff, there is a new position open at 343 for a Halo environment artist. So, if you are artistically inclined, then this is something that you may be interested in looking at.
I can draw stick figures.
Huh?
I can draw stick figures.
And make boxes.
And make boxes, yes. Three-dimensional boxes.
Maybe you should apply for the job.
Yes, funny. funny, Dusty.
So there was an interview with the current senior environment artist at 343, RJ Renola. So if you want to kind of read through some of the stuff that goes behind an environment artist at 343, then this is a pretty good interview to read. A couple of the things that he pointed out was that there's a ton of room for creativity because it is the Halo franchise and they're entering territory that really hasn't been set in stone anywhere. They're making up new environments based off of a race that doesn't even exist. So it kind of gives room for your imagination to explore. But if you're into that kind of drawing stuff, so Leviathan may be a good choice for this. this would be something to at least go check out and see if you are interested. And if you are, put up your resume. I believe Microsoft Jobs is where all those postings go. And again, if you want to read into some of the thoughts behind the senior environment artist, then check out the bulletin. And last in the bulletin, we have the screenshot spotlight for the week. And this week is Skyline, which I think we've had before as a screenshot spotlight.
I think when
the map pack originally came out, we had this.
Why don't you start?
Go ahead.
One of the screenshots was from Receptor 17, his Griff Baller.
Whoop whoop.
He has a screenshot in Screenshot Spotlight at least once a month. Once you start looking for his name, you're going to see it everywhere.
Oh no, we've commented on it. And funny thing, I actually got to play with him during the 343 play date. And we are going to have him on the show pretty soon.
I will listen in. Not that I don't listen to Podtacular, but when Receptor's on, I could listen to his voice forever.
Oh, yes. He was a blast to play with. He is quick on his feet with the jokes.
Yes, he's done some commentary because every Wednesday night we live stream Griffball matches from our leagues, and sometimes he's had to step in to commentate.
He's our backup commentator.
And he's fantastic, quick with the wit. And I love his little Britishisms or Whaleisms or whatever they are, you know.
Yeah, I think he's Welsh.
Oh, he is Welsh, but he'll say, like, spot on and Jolly Good and Bloody Hell and, you know, all those kinds
of... So, yeah, he's been one of the screenshot people that we've been kind of focusedly heavily on. It's been between him and Reclaimed Halo, and their screenshots are just fantastic. And we reached out to him after the playdate on Monday and just kind of exchanged info and was like, hey, I actually know you. And he's like, hey, I've actually heard of Podtacular. So we're going to get him on the show here probably in the next 3 or 4 weeks to talk about the screenshots that he makes and kind of entering into our Halo 5 realm of discussions, which is going to be kickstarted off next week with our Titanfall discussion and some of the stuff that 343 can take back from what Titanfall did with the beta, the crowdsourced publicity that it got, and a bunch of that stuff. We're going to talk about that next week. Also next week, what we're going to talk about is some of the Iron Gaming 50,000K tournament info that came out today. Going to compile that and present it to you guys next week. Pretty big chance that it's going to involve Halo and have a showing at RTX. So we'll talk about that more next week. It has the Halo community all abuzz right now. But with that said, favorite screenshots to wrap it up, I'm going to say, Regicide by Ryu Katsuro, Fog and Horizon by Shanik, and Shadow of Intent by Freeform Oxide. Brent, Goose, Cal, favorite screenshots?
Wait, where?
Romeo 17 the bulletin. By Receptor 17. Oh. That's obviously the best.
Speaking of Receptor 17.
Well, he is kind of awesome.
I like the I Heart Halo screenshot.
That one is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, we'll pick one of those again for our pod art for the week.
I want the Fotis. Fotis wins. Whoever's rocking the Fotis.
Jaded by Vindictivus.
Yep.
Is rocking that Fotis. Yeah, you like that Fotis armor.
I do. It's the unicorn armor. And it is.
So, that wraps it up for the podcast tonight. Thank you guys for tuning in to our live stream that did. Remember, we broadcast Thursday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, right before the Griffball Hubcast, which is coming up right after this in mere minutes.
Henceforth.
Indeed.
Toot sweet.
And then we have the podcast network, the PODCAST network that we're a part of, which hosts other podcasts such as Critscast, the TF2 podcast, ReachCast, the PlanetSide 2 podcast, the newly added Guardian Radio, which is a Destiny podcast, and a few other ones on there as well.
I think at some point I would like to have, listen, probably not on Podtacular given your guys' subject matter, but I need to listen to like a Destiny 101 podcast because I have read next to nothing about the game and I feel really, really out of the loop when everybody is very excited about it.
There's a good YouTube video and I will link it to you.
That would be awesome.
It's 45 minutes of all the stuff that we've heard about Destiny so far.
Can we get it in like a 5-minute version?
Like I'm talking really basic. Like
there's a lot of Destiny stuff. I don't know if you're gonna find a 5-minute version.
Is it an MMO or is it a shooter or is it both?
It's a shooter.
Okay.
At its heart, it's a shooter. It's a first person shooter.
Okay. Well, we will do our own research.
Cool.
Not to take up any more time.
Yeah. So. Yeah, check us out.
Who donated? Thank you. Thank you.
Yep. Or did we get 70%?
Or are we still at 69? Hee hee hee. 69.
Ah, dang it.
That's okay. Well. We're going into the Hubcast. I'm sure they'll enjoy that.
Yeah. So, again, a huge shout outs to our guests for this week, Cal and Goose, for coming on the show from Griffball Hub. And thank you for talking about your Kickstarter with us.
Well, thank you for having us so much. It's always a pleasure.
And remember, guys, you can check us out on podtacular.com. Check us out on our social networks, Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube. And a couple of projects, again, to mention, the Halo Mole, still in full production. You can head on over to thehalomole.com. Check that out. Check out our friends again over at Griffball Hub. And check out Ricochet Hub as we today just started our first league. The Winter 2014 League got its kickoff today. We have 18 teams participating in our first season, so huge shout outs to them.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So we are kicking it tonight, and it's going to be good. We're looking forward to having a lot of seasons, hopefully in the future. We've had some bumps along the way to get everything sorted out, but we have a pretty good feel for what everyone wants now, and we think it's going to be good from here on out. So with that said, thank you guys for tuning into our podcast, and until next week, keep on fragging Griff.